Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000 of you. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do, going beyond the headlines that focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Head fact of the day, 97 new COVID confirmations yesterday. That's the second day in a row that we had less than 100 cases. So yeah, the numbers are coming down. But like I always say, Lagos, until the numbers are zero, like New Zealand, Biko, take your precautions wherever you can. Limit your movement outside, wear your mask, give gap, wash your hands, sanitize your hands. Second hard fact of the day, 93,227 Lagosians have been vaccinated as of yesterday, as of Wednesday. Those are the numbers from the Commission of Health, Akinya Bayomi. And let me give you the Lagos Vaccine League table. Ikeja is on top with 8,883 vaccinations. Etiosa is close behind with 8,832. It's just a difference of 51 vaccinated people. Then you have Lagos mainland with 8,157 people vaccinated. And hard facts is 970,000. I may not have a vaccine for everybody, but I'm bringing you the big three, Global Edition. Let's talk about the return of some Bini Brownses. Then let's talk about the protests in the UK and in Myanmar. And then let's talk about a cargo ship blocking the Suez Canal, affecting $10 billion in daily trade, daily global trade. It's a huge story, and it's the subject of global banter. I'm going to share with you as the show goes along. As usual for Friday, Agogo Obo will be here with Public Square. We'll wrap up the show with music and moments, Ifeanyi and Sam bringing that your way. News updates will come your way at the top of every hour. But let's get started with today's Big Three Global Edition. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos, and these are your hard facts.
The Big Three Global Edition on Hard Facts.
What should the process for returning the Bini Brownses look like? Are governments worldwide becoming more hostile to protests? And how will the blockage of the Suez Canal affect Nigerian businesses? If you are an importer-exporter, this is a story you should pay attention to when we start talking about it. This is the Big Three Global Edition. Let's get into the stories. Now, you know, of course, that sometimes the stories that we talk about on Fridays affect Nigeria in some way or the other. But we generally try to let Nigeria rest on Fridays and we look at the biggest stories in the entire world. Our first story, 440 pieces of Bini Brownses may return to Nigeria this year. These are pieces that are currently in Germany's possession at the Ethnological Museum in Berlin. Now, you know that when the British Empire sacked the Benin Empire in 1897, their soldiers stole thousands of pieces of art, bronze, ivory, brass statues, and these became collector's items in Europe. They've been displayed in the most prestigious museums, and they've been hoarded by the richest, most secretive collectors in the world. But as the decades have passed, more and more Nigerians have demanded the return of the Benin Bronzes. It's become a moral and ethical question. We've seen some private people, the descendants of some of those British soldiers, return pieces that were still in their family possession. But other people who have some pieces have gone underground. They are buying, they're selling on the black market. And then at a higher level, we've also had institutions like the British Museum hesitating to return the bronzes. They say that they are concerned about whether institutions in Nigeria will be able to maintain and protect them. But now the Germans are saying it's time to do the right thing. German government officials have come to Benin, struck a deal to return their own 440 pieces before the end of the year. They've also agreed to help build a world-class museum in Benin and to train Nigerian museum staff. So basically, that's going to end the argument about whether Nigeria can take care of the bronzes. And in return, the Germans will be allowed to participate in archaeological digs in the Benin area. So amazing stuff about to happen in Nigeria. Now, the Germans have opened the first large-scale pathway for return of Benin bronzes. And everybody is asking, will the British follow them? That's because the British Museum allegedly holds the largest collection of Benin bronzes. I wonder if you've been following this story, Lagos. I'm curious what you think. What do you think about this German plan to return the Benin bronzes? Do you believe it's time for the British to do the same? Or do you buy their argument that we may not be able to take care of the bronzes here or protect the bronzes here? What do you think about the planned new museum in Benin and the fact that they want to dig archaeological digs in Benin? Is that as exciting to you as it is to me? Can you tell I'm excited? Because I'm excited. 0700-993-993-993. You can also call us on 01465-7190. But that number is for our female callers only. 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Our first caller is MI in Akoka. MI, how are you? Welcome.
Good afternoon, Sanjay Zekwesele.
Good afternoon. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's a great, it's a feel-good story for a Friday. I mean, I read the story, but, you know, I was just wondering, why is it that listening, they are crying more than the bereaved?
Okay.
You understand? They say that we cannot. How can you? No. See, there's something I like about Britain and America. Your storytelling is impeccable.
Okay.
Awesome. They stole. On that day, still, do you know how many people they have killed? You understand? It's like they say, please give me now. Yeah, narrative, if you follow it, you show, you say they stole. Just took it and left. And they don't matter now. Please. I think they should be telling us that how much have we made from this in your pristine museums. You understand? You should be talking money here now. Yeah, saying no, I don't think they can. I cry more than they believe. Tell me they are doing the right. The world is understanding the global record. It's a moral obligation. You understand? It sounds a sensible deal. Okay, we'll return this and this and that. But so when you hear people say things like racism in Britain, it's institutional. They are telling us we cannot. How can you determine who I am? Oh no, come on. Don't let you tell us another story. Say you don't want to return it. Don't insult my intelligence. I cannot.
Well, they say that you cannot take care of it well. You cannot protect it, you know? That's why they don't want to return it.
Sanja, even I told Agogo the other day, even in the darkness, the hand can find its way to the mouth. Do you understand? There's no excuse. Even if you cannot say they can, don't tell us that. That's the thing. They want to tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. That's how colonialists start. You understand? When they get your mind, they say, no, you can do this, you cannot do that. You can hold a nuclear power, it still happens to today. You can hold a nuclear power, you can do this. They want to detect what you can do, what you cannot do. Colonialism is not changed. It's telling your mental capacity. Have marker, Joe.
But thank you for calling. We've got Ritual on the line. Hello, Ritual. Ritual is in Ishaga today. Good to have you on the show, Ritual.
Yes.
Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I've been listening to you.
Yes.
And what I can discern from all you're saying
Hello, Rachel? Rachel? Oh, no. Rachel, if you can call back, please call back. It doesn't look like your connection is very good. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
My name's Rafiat.
Hi, Rafiat. It's good to have you on the show.
Yeah, I'm Sandra. So I find it weird that something that was originated from a place cannot be taken care of in the place. I might also find this weird. Because it's like, wait, hold up. They created it. Mm-hmm. What makes you think they cannot take care of it?
Well, again, they have a point, right? Because they're saying that we may not be able to protect it. If we were able to protect it, would they have been able to steal it the first time?
But then that's why it was stolen. It's not as if we miss. It's not like something that you miss. It's not like it lost and found.
Who says it won't be stolen again? That's their worry. Their worry is that we will not be able to protect it from maybe getting stolen again.
All right, but return it first, and then we let us worry about that. How about that?
Okay.
Because for me, it's like it's not like we kept them on the roadside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had these things. Mm-hmm. We created these things.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the value and took them over to your place. And now all of it's like, I took something from you. And then I tell you, oh, I took it from you because I think you cannot protect it. It's very weird.
Mm.
I don't want to get into that. And then for the archaeological dig-ups. While I'm excited about it,
mm-hmm.
there's also a part of me that's very skeptical because I'm like, okay, what happens to what you find?
Mm.
Is this going to be another case of a white man discovered being republic? What happens to what you find? What is going to be the train of what you find? This is going to be another opportunity of you trying to rewrite our history because you were able to dig up something.
Plus, why didn't you just return
it free of charge?
Well, if they are helping us build a museum in Benin, what they find will probably go into the museum in Benin.
Then it does make sense. If what they find goes into the museum they are building in Benin, I mean, thank you very much. Wow, fantastic. Yeah.
But I understand your skepticism, though. I understand your skepticism, yeah.
Yeah, but if that is not happening, I'm really, really skeptical about what is the train for. What's like the idea? What's the framework of what is going to be discovered?
Mm.
What is going to be the idea? Who owns it? Is it people who dig it up? Is it going to be for the museum? Like, that part needs to be very clear, because when we find stuff like this and we're not clear on the details,
mm-hmm.
is how we end up being told that we cannot take care of our own artifacts that was stolen from us.
Mm. Rafiat, I love talking to you. Thank you very much for calling us. 99.3, hello. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Onyi.
Hi, Onyi.
Sandy baby. No, thing is, yes, great news that they want to return what they want to return. But I really agree with them that we will not be able to manage it.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about from my own point of view, is the fact that I've traveled to places like Delta State to shoot documentaries on, tourism and culture and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And there are relics in those places
mm-hmm.
that would make you weep when you look at them.
Okay.
We do not take care of it. I was really disgusted when I visited certain places.
Right.
There's a particular spot that's in contention between, I think, Delta and Benin. I think Chief Nana, to begin with.
Right.
I went there and I said to my place, why is anyone not trying to maintain this?
Hmm.
Why are we not trying to protect it better? When I visited the Royal Cemetery, I mean, that thing is, and it's an environmentalist haven. If you look at it, for every king that died, you know, every Oba of Warri that died, a tree was planted in his honor. It took us, at the point my cameraman said, oh, yeah, I can't continue, I'm going back.
Hmm.
It is bushy, there is nobody taking care of it. The government wasn't taking care of it, an individual was taking care of it. I think the guy got overwhelmed at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you go to visit some of these so-called, you know, historical sites or tourist sites,
mm-hmm.
there is nothing to write home about.
Right.
I understand you wanting to keep something in its original state, but there's something else about protecting it and ensuring that it's not, you know, vandalized. Let's take a look at the security situation in our country today.
Mm-hmm.
What's really going to stop those guys? How many people are really guarding those places today?
Mm.
How much more bringing these items that people would pay anything to get coming back into the country? So trust me, we are not serious. In terms of tourism and culture,
mm-hmm.
the country is not ready for it.
Oh.
It's a good thing. they want to return it. But like, that question rings true. Can you take care of it? Can you secure it? My answer is no.
But is it their question to ask?
No, but the thing is, well, yeah, you might look at it that way and say it is not. What am I talking about? It is their question to ask. Yes, they stole it. Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Those who stole it are late now, or whatever it is. But then, you know, they've also come to respect this art, whether we like it or not.
Okay.
And I think that's why it's also taking this long for them to want to return it. They are torn, you know, that decision to make, like, come on, guys. This is a hard find. We might never get this again, but then we stole it from these people. We need to return it to them.
Exactly. Because they didn't even find it. They raided the palace and stole it.
Yeah, but the thing is now, but if we do, will they protect it? Will the world get to see more of it? Because the ones that did not steal that are here, how far now? How far when you look at these things? You know, you're like, what is this? Is this what it's about? We're not taking tourism and culture or whatever it is. So rather, you know, travel and tourism serious in this country. We are not. If we are, I don't think they'll be asking us that question. They knew what they've seen before asking that question. So yeah, they're going to build a world-class museum and the government is going to back that up with the security that it needs. Amazing job. Then you want to come here and of course start some kind of digging and whatnot, and what you're going to find, as long as you're going to drop it in our museum as well, that is fine. My own question is Nigerian government ready? Are they ready to protect this priceless item? Are they ready is the issue. Let us do a survey and go around and let the government do their own. Let people do their own report and come back, you know, and say if the government is going to be ready to take care of it or not. But for me, I do not think, from what I've seen, I don't think so.
Onyi, thank you very much for calling. We've got Malik in Agbara on the line. Malik, how are you?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good to have you on
how
the
are
show.
You,
I'm good. Yes, what do you think about this plan to return the Benin bronzes?
So, the plan to return the Benin bronzes, first, the palace was raided, and my opinion is, aside that, as Semota Victor mentioned, that the things will actually be returned to the palace. Now, if that was not the case, why are you trying to bring it back when our tourism is not in proper shape?
Okay.
Where would you have put it if it was not going to the palace?
But they want to build a museum now. Do you hear that part where Germans want to help us build a museum? No, but they will build it by the end of the year.
Now, when they also say they are not sure of how we are going to take care of it, they are not exactly talking about the security aspect.
Okay.
There are ways you try to keep these things in a state where they remain presentable and they continue to almost stay in their original state.
Right.
So you are preserving it.
Yes. Right.
Now, do we have the expertise to do this?
They're going to train people, but they said they would train people as well.
You see now, so they are the ones putting in the effort to try to help us put that in place. Nobody raided the Oni of Ife's palace. So there are things there that could become artifacts today. Are they artifacts? What have we done with them? There are other places where we could get things you can call artifacts. What have we done with them? Have we made them artifacts? In fact, are we trying to showcase them to people? No. We are not doing any of such. If it were not that, I've seen someone with Benin heritage saying the things are actually supposed to go back to the palace, I would have said that in some museums abroad, they are supposed to be engaging in some partnership where whatever they are making from it, then you can say you are remitting maybe to the state government involved or the Nigerian government who then relates it back to the state government. That's some sort of revenue you are raising. Than trying to say, bring it back.
So we could do some form of arrangement where we're loaning it to them and then they're giving
us
money.
Because they're in some museum somewhere and they are raking in money in millions of dollars. And you could be getting something from that. And then you could even get them to come to evaluate some other ones you have here that can become of international value. And then they take it and put it there and everybody is getting a cut from it. The ones we have here, what have we done with them?
All right then, Malik.
That's my take.
Thank you very much, Malik, for calling me. I love the conversation we're having about this thing. Honestly, if you just joined the show and you're wondering, what are we talking about? You're listening to Hard Facts, first of all. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. I am the host of the show, Sandra Ezekwesili. And 440 pieces of Benin bronze may return to Nigeria this year. Now, every Friday on Hard Facts, we take a look at what's happening in other parts of the world. And for this story, we went to Germany, where these 440 pieces currently are. They are at the Ethnological Museum in Berlin. When the British Empire sacked the Benin Empire in 1897, their soldiers stole thousands of pieces of art, bronze, ivory, brass statues, and these became collector's items in Europe. And they've been displayed in the most prestigious museums, hoarded by the richest collectors, the most secretive collectors. And now decades have passed. More and more Nigerians are demanding that they return the Benin bronzes. I told you how it's become an ethical and moral question. We've seen private people who descended from the British soldiers returning pieces that they had in their own family. You had other people who have gone underground and they're buying and selling the bronzes and the other art pieces in the black market. And then at the higher level, you've seen people like the British Museum say, should we really return this thing? We don't know if Nigeria has institutions that can take care of this thing, that can maintain it, that can protect it. But now the Germans are saying it's time to do the right thing. German government officials came to Benin, struck a deal to return their own 440 pieces before the end of the year. And then they also agreed to help build a world-class museum in Benin and to train Nigerian museum staff. So what they're trying to do there is end that argument about whether Nigeria can take care of the bronzes. And in return, the Germans will be allowed to participate in archaeological digs in the Benin area. I'm curious about what they will find. I'm excited about that. I'm a student of history, so it's exciting for me. So now the Germans have opened that door, right? They've opened the first large-scale door for the return of Benin bronzes. And everybody's asking, okay, Britain, how far? Unage, follow through. It's because the British Museum allegedly holds the largest collection of Benin bronzes. That's all we're talking about. That's what the conversation is. I wonder what you think. What do you think about this plan by the Germans? Do you think it's time for the British to do the same thing? What do you think about this new museum they're planning to build in Benin? And the archaeological dig as well. 01465-7190. That's our number for women. 01465-7190. Our number for women, 01465-7190. Our number for men is 0700-993-993-993. I have time to take one final call, but that call has to be 1 minute long because we have a break coming up. All right, one final call. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Hello, I'm a local one.
All right, you've got 1 minute.
Yeah, my name is Agwoma. I'm calling from Bagada.
Welcome.
Actually, somehow I see it with mixed feelings. Okay. One, how long, how far are we going to take care of these items? Mm. Are we going to lose them now?
Mm.
Or was it better that those who wanted to see it, see them go to Germany and see them? I mean, Nigerians going to Germany to see them, or coming here that political talks will vandalize them and set it on fire. We've seen that every other time. So that is my fear.
Mm.
How, again, having, if you steal something, how, what are the redress? Is it just to return? Are there no consequences for the attempt? And also, we keep on blaming the Western countries about our calamities in terms of slave trade and what have you. And then what they have left, you know, the leftover that we see, what have we managed? How have we managed them? We continue blaming the West for colonial mismanagement, and to our situation, the amalgamation, the slave trade, and all whatnot.
But let's leave it at that. Unfortunately, I have to take a break. But Lagos, this is Hard Facts. Don't go away.
The Big Three. Global Edition on Hard Facts.
For our second story, let's talk about protests and how governments handle them. First of all, we had the Kill the Bill protests in the UK this week. Did you follow that? Let me tell you what that's about. There's a bill being debated by Parliament that will give police more powers for dispersing protests. Here are some of the provisions in the law. It will give police the power to set a start time and end time for a protest and disperse protesters outside those times. It would also give police the power to impose noise level limits on protests. So basically, police will say, this protest is too loud, and shut it down. Also, if the police decide a protest should end, they will be able to arrest any protesters who do not move on. This would happen whether or not the protesters have actually been informed. Under the current laws, police have to inform protesters that the protest has gotten out of hand and they have to disperse. Right? Have you ever heard the phrase reading them the riot act? Have you ever heard that? That's where it comes from. The UK law is called the Riot Act. And police must read it to a crowd before they break up a riot. And this new bill wants to make that unnecessary. And some people in the UK are saying, no way, mate. They believe that these proposed changes would give the police too much power to limit protests, which are an important part of free speech and a crucial way for the masses to put pressure on governments. So they went on the streets this week for the Kill the Bill protests. And the protests got very heated. Police and protesters actually got into fights. At first, the police claimed that two officers had their bones broken. One of them was punctured, had a punctured lung. But now the police have admitted that these reports were false. Now they're saying that their officers were bruised in the fights. But in the meantime, about a dozen protesters have been declared wanted. So that's in the UK. In Myanmar, they're doing more than declaring protesters wanted. We're getting reports that more than 300 protesters have been killed so far since the elections were cancelled last month. We've been talking about Myanmar on Hard Facts. Almost every week we talk about Myanmar. We're talking about how the protesters keep coming back to the streets day after day, even though their comrades are getting killed. And I still want to know what you think about that. What do you think is giving them so much courage, so much determination? Almost 300 people killed, and they continue to come back. Where's that courage from? And I also want to see if you are seeing a pattern. I mean, you have the UK government proposing a law to give police more power to control protests. You saw the crackdown on protesters in Ivory Coast and Angola. And then, of course, we saw the NSAS protests here in Nigeria, where police attacked protesters in Surulere, and then the Lekki tollgate shootings involving the army. So are you seeing a pattern here? Some people will look at these cases and other cases and they'll say, there seems to be a trend. There seems to be a pattern. They will suggest worldwide, governments are becoming less patient with protests or more afraid of protests. And they're making it harder and harder for people to go into the streets and stay in the streets. Are you seeing that pattern, or do you think these are isolated incidents or it's a coincidence? Now, if you agree that there seems to be a pattern here, what do you think is behind it? If you think it's a coincidence, how do you explain all these different data points? 0700-993-993-993. And then, of course, for women, 01465-7190. Women only, 01465-7190. What do you think about this new proposed bill in the UK? What do you think about the Kill the Bill protests? And please tell me what you think is motivating the Myanmar protesters to stay on the streets. Which indeed the water we didn't drink for dear. Do you think there's a global anti-protest trend among governments? Do you have an idea what's causing it? We've got Kevin in Surulere on the line. Hello, Kevin. Thanks for calling us.
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes, the Myanmar issue is exciting to me.
Okay.
Because a lot of innovation is taking place in terms of these protests. Just last week here, they embarked on a silent protest. decided to stay at home and not patronize any business. And that has had a huge impact in their quest to return our country to a democratic elected government. What is motivating them is the strategies they bring up. They are always bringing up new strategies to combat this military men. Gerardi, it was parking their vehicles on the roads, you know. So I think in no time, you know, they will make a very huge impact. And I'm very excited in which they're doing it. And I'm hoping that some of us here are also learning that protests have different dimensions to go about it.
Do you think that could work here? People deciding don't buy anything from anybody, don't sell anything to anybody. Do you think that could work here?
Well, just like Bob Marley sang, if there's a will, there must be a way. You know, if that will is there, we can do it. I don't think there's anything impossible. The problem we have here is that we have just one way to do things. We don't, you know, there's no innovation. You know, we have to innovate in terms of all this. But it's not all about gathering on the street and every day and shouting and being teared gas. There are ways to go about different forms. I love this last one he did, this silent protest. Fantastic way to combat this man. In your first story, I think it's an insult on us as a people that you came here, looted our culture and heritage, and now you're giving us conditions. What is your business to manage them? Is it your business? Does not concern you? Does it belong to you? In fact, these people are insulting us too much. And some people telling me that we cannot take care of it. That's not true. Recently, I was in Badagry. I was in the private library of Bishop Samuel Jerry Prada. I saw the first translation of the Bible to Yoruba language. I saw everything there. It was intact. So this issue of the Ukalama, I saw the whole Sima Shinab, the first white man brought in to this place before they took us away. I was at the no point of return. I was there. I saw many things happening there, how they took our people. We have a lot of things documented. So this issue of telling me that we can't take care of them is not true. This white people are insulting us. You came here, looked at our things. After 125 years, you now realize that we cannot take care of them. Thank you, Sandra.
Kevin, thank you very much for calling. We'll take a final call from Christopher and then we'll go to social media. Lots of messages on WhatsApp, lots of messages on Twitter and Facebook. Christopher, hello.
My precious. Too.
Good to have you on the show.
I know you have a special thing for Edo State.
Okay, I do?
No, that's why you are happy about the this in the return.
Okay.
Yes, you know, for me, the truth is this, sir. Our people will not take care of that thing. So it's better let them come and manage it for us. Sandra, you hear Fuguta Lake, right?
Yeah.
It's a white man that I work with. Say, Chris, let's go to Fuguta Lake. He want to see that Nigerian warship that the Biafrans sink. We get to Fuguta. We take a speedboat to that place. The man made some photos. He said, no, Chris, this should have been a museum where people... I never hear of that thing, but that white man made me to. He mentioned Umuahia here, too. Unfortunately, we can't travel to Umuahia from Fuguta then. So for those German people, well, they had a good heart to return it. But for the British, let them keep it. That thing will haunt them. My people say, if you take something from small picking, raise your hand up, right?
Okay.
When you get there, you bring your hand down. These German people, did we fight for it before they bring it? I know Abiola was making such a move. But thank God, they have the conscience, they return it back. The British will do the same thing. So let them run that museum in Benin and train those other people who will manage that thing, please.
All right, Christopher, thank you very much for calling us. Let me go to WhatsApp where we have a message from Kate in Lakowe who says, Sandra, good afternoon. I just took my COVID-19 vaccine today after you inspired me. Aww. I'm glad, Kate. I'm happy for you. Congratulations. She also says that it was so smooth and simple in her area. Kate from Lakowe, thank you very much for this feedback. I'm glad I inspire you. And I'm glad you've taken your vaccine. I do hope you don't have any side effects. We've got a message from Sojini Lori, who wants to talk about the Suez Canal. I'm going to come back to this message when we get into the Suez Canal because I really love that story. It's hilarious. Helen says, Sandra, I'm afraid they may be right about us taking care of the bronzes. Our maintenance culture is zero in Nigeria. If those artifacts were not stolen, we probably wouldn't have them presently anyway. As for the archaeological projects coming up, I think it's a welcome development. All right, Helen, thank you very much for your message. Sandra, I found the statement of white guys weird. For them to dictate to us on how to protect our belongings, paint what they stole instead of them to bury their heads in shame for stealing. Ayodele Olurotimi from Shasha says, well, I mean, isn't that kind of the point? If we were able to steal it the first time, who's to say that we can't steal it again? If these artifacts are being sold in the black market, they're being bought and sold in the black market, who's to say that one eccentric rich person somewhere will not hire some people to come and steal it from Nigeria, you know, and bring it home for them? It could even make the insecurity worse. Who's to say? I'm not saying that it'll happen, but these are some of the things to worry about, no? Good afternoon, Sandra. The Germans want to come and dig out the main source of the powers they stole from Benin. The archaeological dig-up is maybe because the bronze have shown them that there are more treasures hidden in Benin, Kalu says. Well, I believe there are more treasures hidden in Benin. Benin was an empire. Like, it was a majestic thing to behold. So, of course, there's more things to be found in Benin, you know. So, I'm super excited about all of the drama that will unfold as a result of that if they eventually get around to digging there. Sandra, my name is Nelson from Badagry. Please, these white people should stop insulting us. They stole our property and now they're telling us we cannot take care of it. That was the reason that they stole it in the first place. Exactly. That was the reason they stole it in the first place. We've got more messages here. Good afternoon, Sandra. Not just artifacts. Let them return precious stones and monies too. British and other Western countries should follow suit, and there should also be compensation because they are thieves. And the same way they treat our Yahoo boys that dupe them, we should also treat them the same way. They should pay cash instead of jail term. That's a message from Chief Udo. Chief Udo, thank you very much for your message. Sandra, why do you think it is the rich who are interested in arts? Is it high time they returned our artifacts? Yes. Are we going to be able to handle it good? I don't think so. Until we sort out our basics, food, clothing, shelter, we may malhandle the bronzes. That's a message from Google.wemu. Google, thank you very much for your message. I don't think I've ever said that it's just the rich that care about art, but okay. Here's another message here on WhatsApp. Ebenezer from Etewin says, Sandra, how are we sure that they are not giving us clone or refurbished bronze? Why will they willfully return these things and promise to build museum for us in disguise? Well, you have a very cynical mind, my friend. A very, very cynical mind. Here's another one here. Police are banned from searching the Queen's private Sandringham and Balmoral estates for looted historic artifacts under special exemption. They are not returning the whole artifacts. Why are they accepting the Queen? The best are with her. Okay. Sandra, is it right for bank robbers to say that the bank cannot take care of the money they stole from their bank? Ogo is asking that question. All right. Good afternoon, Sandra. The law... The laws to muzzle protests is going to be a time bomb that will consume the global environment. Where is the UN to tackle Miami protests? They're waiting for genocide to occur before they move in. Steve from Magodo. What Miami protests? Oh, Myanmar. I think that's what you meant to say. All right. Thank you very much for your message. Okay, so Sandra, we never talked about the cost of stealing and keeping those items. Our lawyers should take them to court for stealing. Okay. All right. Let me take a look at Twitter. I'm sure we've got messages on Twitter. Twitter is at Nigeria Info FM. I'll come back to the phone lines in a bit, and then we'll talk about the canal that was blocked by that ship. Nigerians are making a big production about that particular incident. But yeah, Budget on Twitter says, who's going to take care of the artifacts? Our government? What's the state of our football and sports stadiums? Public schools, refineries, barracks, hospitals. It will be a waste bringing these things back. Even if it's sold to the politicians, they will chop the money. Let them keep it for us until we are ready. All right. Here's a final tweet I'll take a look at, and then we'll move on to our final story. I've taken that message before. All right, then. I've taken that message before, Lagos. Let's take a break.
The numbers are out, and Nigeria Info is your number one station for talk.
Number one.
Listen on the air and online via mobile app. Search Nigeria Info FM on Google Play Store and iOS App Store. Download the app and have us with you wherever you go. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Our final story is a business story brought to you by Zcrest Investment Managers. They are an asset management company. The Suez Canal is blocked. I'm sure you've seen the pictures by now, but if you haven't, we are showing it to you on our Facebook live stream at the moment. Facebook, YouTube, we're showing it to you right now. You can check them out. Facebook Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. You can see the ship. This big ship, the Ever Given, blocking the canal. It ran aground on Tuesday near the south end, and now no other ship can pass. Now, this is a huge deal for global business. 10% of all global trade passes through the Suez Canal. That's because it's a shortcut. It connects the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea. Before we built the canal in the 1800s, if a ship wanted to get from Italy to India, for example, it had to cross the Mediterranean Sea, go through the Strait of Gibraltar, go south, down the Atlantic, along the African coast, past the Cape of Good Hope, and go up the Indian Ocean to India. But now the ship can simply go from the Mediterranean through the canal into the Red Sea and into the Indian Ocean. That canal saves ships about 2 weeks of travel time. And that's why 50 ships a day pass through that canal. And those 50 ships carry goods that are worth $10 billion every day. That was before Tuesday. Right now, zero ships are passing through the Suez Canal. So that $10 billion in daily cargo right now is going round the Cape of Good Hope, just like in the bad old days. And this has caused serious slowdowns in global commerce. Many deliveries are now going to take 2 or 3 weeks longer than normal. And because these ships are spending longer at sea, they're burning more fuel, which means shipping costs are going to skyrocket. We're already seeing that. We're already seeing oil, natural gas, diesel prices go up because we now have supply issues. So as you can see, there are lots of knock-on effects from this single ship getting stuck in the canal. So everyone's wondering, okay, how long will it take to get the ship out? We're not sure. The nose of the ship, if you're watching on Facebook, I'm showing you exactly what it is. The nose of the ship is stuck in the sand about 30 feet in. And because of that, tugboats cannot move the ship. Right now, there's a bulldozer. If you're watching us, you're seeing that tiny, tiny bulldozer there. There's a bulldozer removing the sand, but it's a very slow process. They think that it might take a week. If you've gone to places like America, if you've gone to Paris, if you've gone to New York in America, you've gone to Paris, you've seen the Eiffel Tower, you've seen the Statue of Liberty. You know how huge those monuments are. This ship is bigger than those things. I'm showing you that graphic as well. Someone did the math. So this has brought back a conversation about how much the world relies on the Suez Canal. In 1956, we almost had France and Britain go to war with Egypt over the Suez Canal when Nasser nationalized the Suez Canal Company. Before then, Egypt owned the canal, but France and Britain owned the SCC, who were the concessionaires. That's because the canal was actually built by a Frenchman, Ferdinand De Lesseps. But yeah, the canal is so crucial to world trade that people are ready to go to war just so that they can access it. And that's why very often when we hear people talk about the need for alternatives, it's because of that. They're thinking about that. And now a few years back, the Egyptian government started a project to dig two new access points for the canal, one on the Red Sea, one on the Mediterranean side, so that if one leg gets blocked, traffic can still flow. And they've not finished. They've only finished one side. That's why we still have a blockage right now. In the meantime, the world is going crazy, you know, drawing a lot of banter from the situation. A lot of people are using the Nigerian, cut your hand, cut your hand, cut your hand, reverse back. It's hilarious. Now, my first question to you is, do you think that they can get the Ever Given out of the way before next Friday? If you're watching on Facebook, you know what I'm talking about. You're seeing that thing. Then let's talk about the effects on commerce. Do you know anybody whose business is being disrupted by this blockage? Container girl dinner, Swiss. We've talked about some of the effects on trade, right? What do you think the larger ramifications on the global economy will be? 0700-993-993-993. We have the number for women, 01465-7190. And there's WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Before I take your call, let's listen to our sponsors very quickly, and then we'll come back and take calls.
Need to save for a new car, house rent, or your next vacation, or be financially ready to get yourself a COVID vaccine next year? Let Zinvest Aspire keep you in check. Need low-risk investment option with attractive rates? Zinvest High Yields is your best bet. Zcrest Investment Managers, Zinvest is a SEC-licensed asset management company. At Zinvest, professional asset managers with industry expertise dedicate time into preserving your wealth. Zinvest has a web platform that enables you invest in a range of investment products that offers you good returns. Visit www.zinvest.com.ng to get started. Zinvest, demystifying wealth from creation to distribution for all.
We've got John in Ibejulekki. Hello, John.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Hello,
good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about Myanmar.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I think the reason why they were able to keep on protesting against bad governance is because I perceive they are one people.
Okay.
Yes. You know, if you are one, you will do something in oneness with one mind. This one will not be saying this and the other one will be saying that. Like in our country here now, you can see people from the north never support the south, and the south never support. But there, you kill them today, tomorrow they will see them come out. And I don't think that government will be able to succeed over the populace.
Okay.
Before you know it, they will surely surrender.
Okay.
So that is what I see there.
All right, John, thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello.
Hello, Sangha. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I want to speak on the...
Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Hello, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Dr. Sam.
Hi, Dr. Sam. Welcome.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm well. Good to have you on the show.
Yeah. Anyway, I really don't want to talk about anything, but I want to talk about you.
About me?
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Well, I'm not on the Big Three Global today, so maybe wait until the day I'm on the Big Three Global. But here's something that I will be doing next week, Tuesday. I'll be hosting this event. Yes, Alora?
Yes, so Zinvest Investment Managers is bringing together seasoned women financial experts and thought leaders in a two-hour webinar titled the Zinvest Economic Conversation Series, the IWD edition. Why, you may ask? To discuss and prefer practical solutions that will help mitigate financial inclusion gaps that exist between men and women in Nigeria. And in case you were wondering, Zinvest is a new age asset management firm, duly licensed. Yes, we are licensed and regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. Okay, so back to the matter. The women-led panel and keynote sessions will discuss the challenges that women face, while trying to navigate varying financial hurdles and share possible ideas and insights on how women can attain true financial freedom. So this event is scheduled to hold on Tuesday, March the 30th, 2021, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. via Zoom. You have to be there.
Thank you very much. You have to be there, she says. Oh, you have to be there. Let me go to WhatsApp where we have messages. This message here is from Soji in Ilorin. Soji says, the Suez Canal blockade isn't going to directly impact Nigeria too much. This is because our crude, which is sold largely to Asia, is routed through the Indian Ocean. Same with most imports. However, we are likely to see a spike in crude oil and refined petroleum products prices if the blockage persists. Perhaps the canal needs to be widened on both sides to allow for better flow of traffic. And so you say in one breath that it won't affect us, then you now say it will affect our oil. So if it affects oil, it don't affect us finished now. We've got somebody else on WhatsApp who says, our listeners, most of them I believe, don't know the advanced technology it requires to maintain an artifact to preserve its properties. Sometimes it requires glass compartments that must lock out oxygen. So think about that, oh my people. Where the NEPA, where the culture, where the political will? How much budget will require the technology? Without the same Oyibos, we can't maintain or build anything for ourselves. Our callers who are beating their chests with Neo-African pride will only end in their mouth. Effort and result, cause zero. That's a message from Peter Ayorinde, who is in Anthony. Peter, thank you very much for your message. Now, Elora, if people want to register to attend this event to find out how to be financially what again?
Yeah, to be financially free.
Mm.
Yes, so you have to register or follow at Zimvest on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Okay, so what's their handle on those places? At Zimvest?
At Zimvest,
at
yes.
Zimvest, okay. All right, let's listen one more time to our sponsors on that particular part of the show, our sponsors of the final story, the business story on Big 3 Global Edition. And then I'll give you a chance to win 10,000 naira.